What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorayandCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorayCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And this is the God Show. Let's go. Clap for yourself. By the way, if you're listening, press download, like, share, subscribe. Please, it costs you nothing, but it helps the show tremendously. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Two Loss Distribution, Tote and Carry, Yoko Vodka, and LorayCo TV. Also, YKTV. Then we got a couple other sponsors coming in that I'll introduce later, but we have I would like to call the Oracle today.
I have no idea what that means.
I'm going to give it to you. You got the answers. Like,
okay.
Like I always say, like, all of us are on the yellow brick road of life, trying to find our wizard, not knowing that it's in us.
Yes.
But you are a wizard.
Thank you.
You are a wizard that helps someone find themselves. You're not like a wizard that takes advantage of people. You're the wizard that's saying, okay, you're trying to go there. Look at yourself. Do you think you're dressed the right way? Do you think? And to me, those are the wizards that are, those are the people that matter, because they help you get on the journey and don't throw you off. Ooh. So we have, I will call it Oracle. I met this brother and I did his show. I was really impressed. And it's funny because he said something to me. I'm going to say it later. But, you know, he was like, I was like, you want to do mine? And he was like, I'll drive up. So he literally drove up just to do this show. And I want to give it up for our guest today, Rick Barker, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's an entrepreneur. He's a music manager. He's a music executive. You're a media executive too, because you're doing media. A
little bit of everything.
And you're the reason why I say that is because, you know, like when you, Rick, you know, like when you're out and about and you're like talking to someone, and I don't know if you did this on purpose, Rick Barker, because I got the Negotiator and Barker. I don't know if you did this on purpose, but I felt like while we were doing our interview, you were sending me messages and I was picking them up. And it was like, kind of like, I'm going to say this, but if he's who I think he is, he'll catch what I'm saying. But if he doesn't, I know who he is. And you said like, and I remember I was like, yo, we're going to do the show. And you was like, are you for real? And I was like, bro, yes, we're going to, like, absolutely. And then it hit. So that made me start doing some research into you. No, okay. No BS. Because you know, obviously you said a couple names, that's irrelevant. You said a couple names of people you knew that I knew and was like, yo, like those guys didn't do certain. And I'm like, he's the truth, because that's me. Right. When you give information away freely, all you kind of really want back and all we really want is just credit.
Sure.
Like if I helped you, just tell somebody I helped you, that helps my business.
Sure.
So when you said that, I was like, he's the plug. I swear to God, it was like, I don't, because that's something I would say.
And I didn't understand what you meant by that when you text. Yes. And you said, you're the guy.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Because all I do is, I never want to be the guy that knows everything. You know what I mean? I did too much crack in the 80s. I don't have enough storage space in my brain for this stuff. But I want to have access to the people that know everything. But more importantly is I have a platform that I want to introduce people to people who can help them, the yes. practitioners.
Yes.
You know, so if I'm going to pretend to be the guy that runs Spotify ads and does all this TikTok stuff, no, that's not it. I'm going to introduce you to Brandman Sean.
Yes.
And I was telling you that a lot of people are throwing around that A&R term right now and taking advantage of a lot of independent artists. And I'm like, this is the A&R guy. So if they're going to learn from anybody, I will take what I've learned on how to take my knowledge and information and put it into courses or classes or you know, webinars or whatever, and I'll teach it to you or I'll help you create it because then I get to bring them to an actual source.
Yes.
There's too many people, and Clubhouse killed it for a lot of people. There were so many experts that had zero resumes, but they could hide behind a microphone.
Yes.
They were faceless experts who were talking a lot of shit, and that's how I met Troy. Because I would go into those rooms and I'd call bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, before you get so excited because it's COVID and you haven't met anybody and this person's learning whatever the hot new hip term is and they're going to try to, no, that ain't true.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And all I was doing was speaking the truth.
Yes.
And by just speaking the truth, I was starting to get people reaching out to me going, dude, I love your honesty, your sincerity. I said, well, here's the thing is that musicians are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Musicians want it so bad that they're going to just launch to the first thing that they hear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, 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 no. There are no shortcuts to success. No two artists' career paths have ever been the same. It's going to take work. Mm-hmm. You said something that I loved, and I was listening to one of the podcasts, and it was you and Troy, and you were talking. You said, people pray for opportunities, but they don't prepare.
Yep.
For those opportunities, because they think that I'm an opportunity. They see me, they go, wait, he managed Taylor Swift, he works at record companies. I can walk you into any label.
Yep.
But what happens once I drop you off? You're on your own.
Yep. Right.
And most of you aren't prepared for what they're going to ask. Mm-hmm. So, and I want to be able to make sure that they keep picking up my phone. So I don't want to go, dude, why did you bring me this person? They've only written a couple songs. They had one thing go hot on TikTok. That's not an artist.
Yeah.
That was somebody who threw something up and got lucky.
Yeah.
We're not built. Labels are not built to create fan bases for artists. Mm. They're, I always say, they are in the acquisition stage. They're That's going to acquire small businesses that are already working. They're not in the startup phase anymore.
Nope.
And that's to the advantage of the artist, the right artist that understands it, because when you come in as a business that is functioning, you now have negotiation power.
Yep.
You're not an employee.
Yep.
If you wait to get discovered by them, 85-15.
Yep.
If you bring something to the table, we're going to get you to that 60-40, 50-50.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden you have some say-so. So these guys that I freely gave my information to was because I loved what they were doing.
Yeah.
I saw what J.R. McKee was doing and said, hey, I have spent tens of thousands of dollars learning the digital marketing space. Let me introduce him and his course to my audience.
Yeah.
Sean had, he had his agency. And I'm like, Sean, not everyone can afford your agency, but let's do a little TikTok course.
Yeah.
And I'll give it to my folks. Clinton Sparks had a great book. I bought his book. I took a picture of me listening to his book, posted it on Instagram. He hits me back. Next thing you know, him and I are, and I'm introducing my book to him. So it's just, I love helping people that want to help people. And I don't care if I get the credit. You know, as a manager, we never get credit for shit. Never. Unless it's broke.
For sure.
If it ain't working, we're the ones responsible.
Yep.
If it's when broke, it's working, it's the label artist. And the artist are doing the, all the right things. And we're sitting back going, oh, that's not how it really works.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not how it works.
I wanted to ask you, like, where did you get? So first of all, the reason why I know you the guy is because the only people who are unafraid to give information away to people are people that have mastered something.
Hmm.
Because if you haven't mastered it, you're going to protect it. Oh, I don't know if I want to get, what if he takes it and run? You know, what's for me is for me. What's for them is for them. But if I can give them something for them, why not?
But here's the thing you have to understand. I own my experiences. You own your experiences. I can't own your experiences. Now, I could lease them, and I could pay to get your experience, but we all have to look at it from a different way. It's like if somebody comes to me and says, hey, Rick, will you teach me the music business? I can't teach you as an artist because I was never an artist.
Yep.
I don't know how to play instruments. I got into music because I loved music. So I became a DJ. I'm like, hey, finished. I can do this. So I can teach you from the working in radio. Mm-hmm. I can teach you from working at a label.
Yeah.
I can teach you from managing and helping launch one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
But I can't mentally go into your brain to figure out why you're stressing out the way that you are, because I've never experienced that. Mm. But I can go to this person and say, you know what? I need you to get with my person and we'll pay you because you have the skill set to be able to help them. I can't teach.
Yes.
I can read anything and learn anything.
Yeah.
You know, and we can all do that.
Yeah.
But you know what? At some point, people are going to get tired of hearing it from me.
Yep.
So if my passion is to serve others, at some point, the best way I can serve people is to shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
And not be the guy that thinks he knows everything.
Exactly.
But I can introduce you
to a guy that knows that.
Correct.
Yep. Yep.
And it's funny because I use my wife as an example. My wife, I've been married 24 years now. I will say something for months. She'll never hear it. Victor, my neighbor, could say it. And it's the best thing she's ever heard.
Yeah.
Because she has heard me talk over and over.
Yes.
So if I have an audience of 50, 60,000 people on Instagram, an email list of 90 to 100,000 people, they've heard what Rick knows.
So they want to hear
All I want to do is bring them that same information, but from another voice.
Yep.
If the outcome, all I care about is we get the outcome.
Period.
I don't care who gets the credit.
Yeah.
I really don't. I tell parents that I work with all the time. I said, look, it's going to piss you off, but I'm going to say something that you've said 100 times and they're going to hear it for the first time. Mm. Why? Because they think I'm the expert.
Exactly.
You're a smart business person.
Mm-hmm.
What you were saying was absolutely true.
Mm.
They just didn't hear it from you someone, because they were, it's like a fat guy giving health advice.
Exactly. How are you going to help me? He might know something.
I read a book.
Yeah.
I don't matter what you know. It's what you do with what you know. And most people know too much.
Yes.
And they don't do enough.
I say the problem with the game is that everybody is just, by the way, you'll understand this. I hate when people see what someone else is doing and they're like, I'm better than that. Prove it then.
Sure.
Oh, you think you're like, man, I'm a better producer than him.
Do it.
I'm a better artist than that person. Do it. But let me tell you something. As long as you're sitting here watching them work, they have the advantage.
Absolutely.
Because they're learning, they're getting better, and they're getting better. And by the way, music is subjective anyway, so your opinion might just be your opinion.
Sure.
The world might love it.
Well, and I always say, I don't care how great your music is if no one hears it.
Mm.
And all the tools are available. Because I can put my stuff so much better. Great. Did you wake up this morning and post it?
Yep.
Did you go create 5 pieces of content to get it out there? Did you go out and reach out to an influencer and try to build a relationship or start a collaboration? No, guess what? They did. So your music, in your opinion, because music's subjective. The worst thing somebody could ask me is, Rick, listen to my music and tell me what you think about it. Mm. So I'm always going to say, is your audience a 57-year-old white guy that loves R&B and hip-hop from the early 2000s? Because if it's not, I'm the wrong guy.
Exactly.
But I can tell you sonically if it'll fit.
Exactly.
I'm that guy. And sometimes people are like, he's such an asshole. I'll usually answer questions with questions. Because they'll say, hey, what do you think of my music? And I'll say, what do you want to do with it? Well, I want to pitch it to radio. Great. It's 4.5 minutes. Not going to work. You didn't even listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But radio's not going to play a 4.5 minute song. I do not have to listen to it to know that it's not going to work. You know, it's like I can hear it. And I just tell artists, I say, listen, stop waiting for me or someone to anoint you.
Mm-hmm.
Anoint yourself.
Yep.
You like you said, prove it.
If you know it, do it. That's the easiest way. That's why I don't even argue with people. If you know, go do it then.
Absolutely.
I know what I know, and I'm doing it, and it's working for me. So maybe you know something I don't know.
I always say, cool. All right.
So go do it.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think, because I look at you as an oracle, I'm going to ask you, being in this business as long as you have, being around it, being a curator in it, understanding it, what do you think this business goes 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Like, what do you think it's going
to
be?
Well, there's going to continue to be more ways for us to get the product out there. So it's going to make it even more crowded than what it already is.
Yeah.
I was looking at a statistic, 12 million artists on Spotify.
Mm.
12 million. When we were growing up, we thought There were 100.
That's it.
12 million that's artists.
That's it. Whoever was on MTV, on the radio and made the countdown or toured, those were the artists that we knew. 12 million. And every day they keep saying over 100,000 something songs are uploaded. That means it's really crowded.
That means everyone in New York City that lives there is a performing artist.
Every single person.
But the thing is, Ray, is you go and you look at deeper into the numbers, and how many millions have less than 10 streams that have been uploaded?
How many?
Too many. Like in the millions and millions. It's like those people couldn't even get their mama, their aunt, their cousin, their uncle to go listen to their song. But now all of a sudden, they've put it out into the world.
Got you.
They put it out into the world. And then they're like waiting to be found, waiting to be discovered. And I'm like, no. No, it's like, it's the same way with athletes. It's the same. It's like, just because you can do it. I said something to somebody one time. I said, just because you can put pen to paper doesn't make you a songwriter.
Yes. That's
right. Just because you can sing doesn't make you an artist.
Yes.
It makes you a singer.
Yes.
Maybe good singer, maybe bad singer, whatever it is. But just go find your people. Don't be afraid to grow 10 people at a time, 20 people at a time. Because back in our day, with the bands I worked with, you started off in your garage.
Mm-hmm.
You got out of the garage and you got to 10 people at a club. And then hopefully the next time there were 30 people at the club. And then in New York, some of these people are going, I just sold out 5 nights in New York. Well, yeah, the cap in the room is only 50, but congratulations.
Exactly.
At 50 people to pay for a ticket to come see you, high five.
Yes. Yep.
High five. Mm-hmm. Now let's go find more of those people.
Yes.
And the internet allows us to do that. The internet won.
Yeah.
It won. It doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
It doesn't care. It doesn't. It's like the best music that get heard that gets heard wins.
That day, or the music, I'm not going to say the best. I'm going to say the music that stands out.
That stands out.
You got to understand something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I like that.
If you, because it's not about how good it is. It's about can it grab, can you say something in 15-second intervals that other people are going to want to put your words behind them.
Well, was it the best thing they saw or heard that day?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's like we deal in emotions right now. That's what I tell artists. You're selling emotions. You know, we're not, how you feeling? What were you feeling when you woke up this morning? What mood are you in?
Yeah.
That's why Spotify and a lot of the playlists are now shifting to emotion-based playlist. Here's your workout playlist.
Yeah.
Here's your drive with the top down playlist. Here's your baby making playlist. Here's your, you know, whatever it is, they're kind of going more for those emotions because genre is what we needed to say which radio station were you going to be on.
By the way, we were talking enough about that. That's the only reason why genre mattered, because they needed to know what panel
correct
on radio to put you on.
Yes. Because they're not going to go work you to everyone because it's expensive.
Because exactly. That's why, be honest, I'm glad you said that. That's why genres exist. People don't understand that.
Sure.
Like, radio was the one that like, no, we're going to play urban records.
Yep.
We're going to play rhythmic. We're going to declare who we are and who we for. So we know who's coming in the door. And if it doesn't make sense to us, it's like, you're coming. We don't even play your type of music.
Right.
That's why it is. So I agree with you on the moves. But I guess I was asking you like from a macro standpoint of like the business, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, I tell people, I'm like, there's the music business and then there's the music industry.
Yes, two completely different things.
Industry. The industry are the people who work and exist in it.
Well, the industry is going to have to change. And I'm currently consulting a major label right now. And the way that they're built is they're not built to acquire these businesses that we were talking about. So the best analogy that I can use is that they find this restaurant that they absolutely love. Lines out the door every night, great menu, people love the restaurant. They're like, I want to buy that restaurant.
Yep.
What they don't know how to do is to keep the restaurant open while putting their flavor and their changes to make it bigger. So they end up shutting the restaurant down. And then the restaurant shut down for a year, and then they expect it to be like it was.
Yeah.
So as I was doing further research, I was talking to some of the artists, and I said, you know, you already had a business with 2 million monthly listeners. You were already making $30,000-$40,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, and I licensed my record to the label. I'm like, really? He says, yeah. I said, do you mind if I ask for what? And they told me what advance that they got. And they said, yeah, and they're going to, and all licensing means is that they get the opportunity to exploit it, make as much money mm-hmm. what they can for a certain period of time, yes. but you still maintain control of the yeah. masters. So he says, yeah, we did an 85-15. I said, oh, you got 85? He goes, no, the label got 85. I said, wait a minute. You just gave up your $30,000 a month income stream to someone else who now gets 85 cents out of every dollar. And by the way, the money that they gave you gets paid back out of your 15 cents, yeah. not out of their 85 cents.
Yeah.
So I went to the president of the label and I'm like, listen, I said, if you want to be competitive and if you want to survive moving forward as an industry, you guys need to understand that you cannot give the same deal to a kid that you found on the street that's never written a song that you're going to develop. If you're going to develop for straight up, you cannot give the same exact deal, but it's like sometimes they just, well, they've always done that.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
That's the way we've always done it.
Exactly.
It's like when they came back and all of a sudden when streaming started, they had to start changing words. Like they would say planets, universe, you know, it's like it used to be worldwide distribution. Well, now they realize that one day they're like universe. Now they're putting all kinds of different words in there.
Just in case you want to take your ship to Mars and get some money.
Another question.
Just where's the territory?
Just in case.
With all the, where music's at now and then in the future where there'll be even more places to put and distribute music in a sense. And listen, what's the future of radio?
Radio will always be someplace because there's always going to be poor people. And radio's free. If you're working in the warehouse, they may have the radio turned on in the background and we'll always hear it. Coming from radio, the problem that I always had was I knew how many people tuned away when the commercials came on. The only way radio makes money is through the
commercials.
So that's where it's scary. It's like, and then everybody started consolidating. So now they don't even care sometimes if they're making money because they have this portfolio and their stock price or whatever it is. I remember when our station was acquired, I was in Santa Barbara, did my whole radio career in Santa Barbara. And we were acquired for $3 million, this radio station. And it was going to one of the bigger companies. And I'm like, how do you justify that when we charge $30 a minute per ad and we only run 8 minutes of commercials an hour? That's $240 an hour. Where's this $3 million evaluation come from? And that was really confusing.
What did they say? What was the answer?
They had no answer because as they acquire 15 radio stations,
it
helps build up their stock. Uh-huh. They control all these markets. So that was back then. I always think there'll be a place for radio. I hope so because I wanted to be a DJ. That's all I ever wanted
to be. I come from a radio background similar as you. So that's why I asked those questions and I wonder where that's going.
Well, what's funny is DeMizza, a lot of people, you know, he's all over Instagram right now. Damien, when he was 12 years old, him and I worked at the same radio station. He was a little chubby kid. And I mean, he knew more about hip hop than most black people knew about hip hop at that age. He was that kid.
Got you.
So he went on to run Power 106, Hot 95, it was Hot 97 in Atlanta or in New York.
DeMizza did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was like senior VP of whatever company he was working for at that time. Emmis, I think it was. Yeah.
And Emmis had both of those days, Power 106 and 97.
And he was just this kid, but it's like he always thought about the street. You know, he always thought about what was going on. And he had to disappear for a little while and, you know, take care of his grandma, family was most important to him. So here's a guy that was so influential in the early 2000s of the hip hop culture that could not find a job in radio today. And now he's doing other things, which is great. He's consulting on some projects. But what I was telling him was, as I said, listen, I said, the new radio stations and programmers are the playlisters. I said, what you should do is you should create 5, 10, 15 of your own playlists and take the best playlist from the 2000s, 2001, 2000, because he was bringing Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Eminem and all these people together, and he was doing all this stuff. I said, you could create your own radio stations now with 300 songs and go get to whatever the place is where you can pay for them to listen to your stuff, make a couple bucks. I said, just don't tell them what you can do. Show them what you can do.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's, to me, I think that that's the biggest hangup for the generation, my generation, a couple of generations before and after, is that we can see the change coming,
sure,
but now we have to reset. Yes. You have to, like, it's like, that's the hardest part of my life right now is that I'm filming, but my studio is right there, my office is right there. Like, yeah. I still have to run my business that pays all the bills, which is music, but yep. this pivot, this right here, this pot is a pivot opportunity. But that's why, that to me, that's going to be the biggest hang up going forward.
It's not reset, it's accept.
Exactly.
Accept that that's things good. Have that's changed.
Good. Yep.
And are you willing to change with it?
Yep.
And that's where it's like all these artists would come to me, and for whatever reason, older artists are attracted to me thinking yeah. I'm their last hope.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm like, listen, I said, here's the thing. Most of you are fighting technology. Technology is your friend. Most of you said, I just wish it would go back to the way it was. And I said, no, you don't, because then only 20 people got a shot.
Yes.
That's it.
If we go back to the way it was and people are like, well, I wish I would have met you 20 years ago. I said, no, you don't, because I didn't have the technology that I have now to help you.
Yeah.
You're just a good artist.
Everything was controlled.
Yes.
The videos we watched was controlled. The music we listened to was controlled. And all you had to get to was like 3 or 4 very important gatekeepers to like you, and you got a shot. Now, here's what they don't say. This right. is the part that I learned. A radio programmer, a playlister, they can all put your shit at the top of Rap Caviar.
Yes.
That does not mean it's gonna work.
Nope.
And that's why.
Not today.
That's why you gotta find a way to consistently do something while allowing the seeds you're doing to blossom.
Yes.
Right? Because the other side of that. So let's argue the other side.
Sure.
You could go to 4 or 5 gatekeepers, but now you gotta convince thousands of people.
What happens when you get off those playlists? That's what was killing people.
Yeah, that's
the algorithmic playlists are the ones you want on.
Yes.
You want on Discover, you want on radio, you want on
yep.
those.
Yep.
Because those, and you want to, and every artist, if you do not have your own playlist, shame on you. That's like being the program director of your own radio station and not playing your own music.
Yes.
It's like you're bitching because somebody didn't put you on their playlist. You haven't even built a playlist for yourself.
Yep.
You're bitching because somebody didn't play your song today. You didn't even share it on your Instagram stories where somebody could tap on it and listen to it on Spotify.
Yes.
So stop blaming other people and go to work for yourself.
Yeah, but I think that's the
that's
problem.
That's the issue.
The problem, the problem, Rick, is that people don't... Go ahead, Rick. You go, Rick.
No, it's okay.
I got him fired
when
up,
When the
Rick.
Record comes...
I got to let him go.
Yes.
When the record
comes,
it's like when the goal was, okay, let's be a great artist, get seen, get a record deal. The work for the artist was just record the music.
Yes.
Bring it to the label, they do everything else. What happens is now everything's in the artist's hands. You got to get yourself hot, you got to get your own content, you yep. got to do all the stuff. And it's like they record, they do the stuff, and they feel like they've done work till this day. And then it's like they still, who's going to do this? Who's going to get contact? You.
You.
You've got to take responsibility for your business. And I asked people this question. I said, let me ask you a question today. Your only responsibility, you're the president of the record company, and your only responsibility is Rick. Did you do everything you could today to get Rick's music heard? Did you do everything you could today to help exploit Rick's brand? Should you be hired or promoted or fired based on what you did for your only artist? And a lot of them, if they're honest with themselves, they said, shit, I'd be fired.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because they're waiting for somebody else to do
it. Yes.
And the worst part is when you get signed to a label and you think that you're a priority.
Poof.
They got 40 people. It's like, if the worst thing you could do is come into a label without any momentum. It's like, labels do, you might disagree with this.
No, go ahead.
But from everything, I have never seen a label shelf an artist that was making them money and bringing in revenue.
No.
Never
Absolutely
seen it.
Not.
Never seen it. But everybody will go, oh, they shelved me because they didn't want me to compete with this. But no, they shelved you because you didn't have shit going on.
Yeah, shit going on.
And now we have the tools, and the labels I consult are encouraging artists. Get your buzz going. You start the fire. They won't start fires anymore, but they'll put gasoline on it.
But you know, I was going to tell you, I think that's why labels have to switch their business model.
Yes.
Because there was a point in time where all you had to do was be a recording artist. We worked your record. We went everything. And there was a time where 85-15 kind of made sense.
It did, because it took a lot of money to record. Videos weren't cheap. Videos were millions
of dollars. And not only that, I had to convince people to actually physically get in their cars,
yes.
go to a store, and buy something.
Yes.
Streaming is just open your phone. It's like streaming is like Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, it's like Instagram. As long as I pay my $9.99 a month, yep, however it is, I can play. I have access to all the songs in the world, which means I don't feel urgent.
But I got it.
And
yeah,
it also means that I don't, because it doesn't feel urgent, but it also, I forgot my train of thought.
I don't even feel as connected to the artist. But because...
They forget that they don't finish what you say. Because I was going to say they don't feel urgent. Oh yeah, they don't feel urgency. So the lack of urgency makes them say, I'll get to that when I get to that.
Right.
It's like, there was a point in time where, what's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go. 8 p.m., you want to be home because you want to watch a certain show.
Yes. And now, Tuesdays, you went Tuesday, to the record store.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's when the records came
Tuesdays,
out.
Tuesdays, yes.
Now, the only people that's really holding themselves accountable to Friday releases are the major labels.
Sure.
Like, you can fucking go to TuneCore, Two Lost right now, and just release.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, and it's up. Mm-hmm. But now you have to work it.
Well, and that's the thing, is when you put those systems in place. So there's a platform out there that I'll tell you about. It's called Smart Noise.
Mm.
Smart Noise did a lifetime pre-save. The most selfish thing an artist could do is asking somebody, hey, would you go pre-save my song?
Mm.
So you give them nothing. You did nothing. It's like, just because
just they do me this favor. It,
doesn't mean they're going to actually go listen to it that day. So Smart Noise said, okay, why don't we do a lifetime pre-save where you just do it once, you get the email address of the person mm-hmm. who agreed to do it, you get told, did they do Spotify, did they do Apple, they get an email the day that it's dropped with the link that you can click in the email and play the song.
Oh, that's
I went and solved all the problems.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, I'm dealing with this label that I'm working with, like, well, we can't use that because our distributor owns this thing and we get it for free. I said, I don't care if something's free if it can't do the job.
Yeah.
It's like, and fans are tired mm-hmm. of being asked, and artists are tired of asking.
Yeah.
So I said, why don't we offer them something in return? They go, what? I said, why don't you give them the song? Like, what do you mean? Why don't you give them the song? If your goal is to get pre-saves because somebody made you think that you'll happen to get on a playlist because of it, which I haven't seen to be the case, but that's the story that's out there.
Yeah.
Why not give them the song? And there can't be secrets today.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z can keep secrets. Taylor Swift can keep secrets.
Yes.
Kanye can keep secrets. Every one of us, once we have someone's attention, we need to value that attention.
Maintain
I call
it
chosen marketing. Everything that came across their feed that day, they chose you. Don't tease it, because Instagram may not show it to them when you actually need it to happen. So mm-hmm. while you got their attention, why don't you show them how amazing you are?
Yeah.
It's like independent artists keep trying to do the things that major label artists do.
Yeah.
Well, major label artists, if they were smart in their own business, would be questioning the people that are making the decisions for them at the label, which is what I went in and did. Is I'm like, look, no offense, but why are you doing it this way? And it's not their fault, because they're not going to the seminars that I'm going to. They're not investing to learn from the best digital. They're doing what the person before them showed them mm-hmm. how to do, and the person before them. And the next thing you know, it's been 8 years and they're still doing things that we shouldn't be doing, because this independent artist over here who's got 100 million listeners a month, they're like, how do they get in all that? Because they're playing with the tools that are available today.
Yeah.
They're not trying to make things the way they want it. And that's the thing that it's like, I feel like I'm a therapist half the time with artists.
That is the job.
It's like, listen, why are you doing this? It's like, I got a release plan and they gave me this content calendar and I go, wow, this is interesting. So why did you guys take Saturday and Sunday off from posting?
Ooh.
Oh, that's right. Cause you don't work Saturdays and Sundays, but you don't think that people who do work, so they spend more time on socials on the weekends, the 9-to-5ers, because that's their time.
Yep.
I said, why are you only posting once? They go, what do you mean? I said, do you ever go into social and scroll back from 5 hours ago to see what happened? No, yeah. It's feeding too fast. You cannot be seen if you're not posting.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, well, people will think, no, Instagram doesn't show it to everybody. You're just making excuses on why you didn't show up to work today. Why did you not do everything you could? If you tell me your song can impact someone's life, why didn't you try to have impact today? Why did you ignore the opportunity to help someone? Because you just told me your song, if this song gets heard, right, it'll change the world.
Yep.
Then you change the world with your song. Quit waiting for the world to find you.
Exactly.
They're going to find me. Why? Because I'm paying for ads.
I'm putting myself out there.
They're going to find you.
Yep.
They're going to find you.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing. So don't get mad because this guy's got all the views. He woke up and put himself in front of somebody today. Call him up and ask him how he did it.
They don't want to. I think people are afraid to see. I think people are afraid to put themselves on a line.
Yes.
I think people are okay with maintaining the dream, the concept of the dream,
right,
just because it makes you feel good.
Yes.
Like, man, when I be my making, but then right after they say that, they go right back to doing the normal shit. But it felt really good to talk about my dream and when I'm gonna make it. But I think people are afraid. I don't know a lot. Like, I'm people. Like,
yeah.
Like, this is like, this is, it's not easy. But putting yourself out there.
The difference between you, I got called. Canada, I wish the United States had the money the Canadian government does to support the arts. They have these grants for these arts.
Crazy.
And it was
crazy.
It was stupid because I was speaking at Canadian Music Week and I said, they'll give an artist a grant for $10,000 to record a record, but there'll be $0 for marketing. And then they'll wonder why it didn't work. I said, you guys are wasting money.
Yep.
So they come to me and they said, would you teach a class for us on how artists need to be entrepreneurs in order to be able to be successful? And I said, I can't teach that class. And they're like, why? I said, because the artists that I know aren't equipped to be entrepreneurs, because an entrepreneur isn't afraid to get punched in the face.
Yep.
They aren't afraid to invest their own money.
Yep.
They aren't afraid to fail.
Yep.
But every artist I talk to is damn scared of anything negative happening to them. So the reason that you and I can succeed is because it's like, I have a credit card. I look at it as I worked hard to get good credit. If I need to invest in my business, that's my credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go offer somebody a percentage of my business for $10,000 when I got a credit card with $20,000 limit on it.
Exactly.
But an artist will sit back and go, well, I need to wait till I start making money with the music to invest in education and work in the music. I'm like, good luck with that. Let me know how that works for you when you're getting less than pennies.
Why don't you think people that want to be in the music business, that want to be, not people that's in it, people that want to be, why don't you think that they are willing to invest in things that they can't see? It's like an athlete, right? Like, it's like an athlete. It's like, if you're an athlete playing on a court, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get your uniform, your shoes, you know what you got to have. But like, they say LeBron spends $1 million a year on his body.
Yes. Tom Brady, same way.
Yes.
Same way.
That's what I'm saying. So what I was going to ask you, why don't you think artists spend money? I take it further. I went to Howard LeBron. You got basketball players, young kids, AAU teams. Them parents know their kids. The chance of their kids going pro is slim to none, but they still are investing in the teams, the trips, the even if it's just the camaraderie and the teamwork building thing that comes from it. In our world, it's like, everybody's just starving and trying to figure it out and don't want to invest. And by the way, it's the same way with those basketball teams. Sure. Them little kids don't come from rich communities. Right. They come from poor communities, but their parents still spend. You have a much better chance at being a successful artist today than you being a successful athlete today.
Yeah. No question.
But they don't. But they, number of spots.
They don't even, because there's nothing blocking you. You don't have to get drafted. It's not like you need the NBA, you need the NFL.
Anyone can enter the game.
Anyone can enter the game, and that means that all you gotta do is enter the game, discover your audience, and build with them. By the way, if you don't, we've said that a million times. We say community, we say all these things, Rick. And it's like, why are people still paying for dreams rather than investing in the dream themselves? Like, why are they trying to buy it? I don't understand that.
One is because they're uneducated, and I don't mean going to school.
For sure.
I mean, they're just not speaking to the right people. And that's one of the reasons why I started doing what it is that I did, because you can imagine after launching the career of Taylor Swift, I left in 2008. Every rich dad with a teenage daughter was showing up in Nashville thinking I was the ticket.
Yep.
With a blank check. And I'm like, no one ever asked me about the work. Nobody ever asked me about the failures. All they saw was young girl, rich dad. Now, here's the thing. Love her or hate her. If it were that freaking easy, there is no shortage of teenagers that can sing better than her with daddies with more money than her daddy has.
Period.
So shut that part up.
Period.
That's, I mean, I hear that all the time, and I'm just like, I don't even want to go there because I saw the work.
I'm glad you're going there because I was going to take you there, but go. I want you to go.
No, and that's the thing is it's like the difference between a great artist and the superstars and those, it's the team they surround themselves with.
Yes.
And their adaptability. You had LL Cool J on here.
Yep.
Okay. Love LL Cool J.
Me too.
Funny story. My son didn't even know. He just thought he was Sam Hanna. He didn't even know that he had. No, this even worse. Yes. My son's 21 years old. We're driving in the car and Miami comes on. He didn't know Will Smith was a singer and a rapper. He just thought he was an actor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I really stepped up and had to re-educate my son on some things. But but their willingness to adapt, their willingness to bet on themselves, their willingness to say, if this producer, if me doing it myself is not working, I'm going to go to this producer. It doesn't mean that I'm still not a producer. It just means this person's able. And that's why these artists that I love, that I follow, that are independent right now, is they're the ones that are willing to bet on themselves. Mm. They are the ones that are willing to adapt to the changes. I was in New York and I was meeting with Rel Carter and meeting some of the guys over there. And I was walking down Times Square and these two guys come up to me, these black guys, these rappers. One's got a CD because he's keeping it real.
Yep.
And the other guy hands me a set of headphones and lets me hear his music. And then he gives me a QR code to go download his stuff. And I asked the other guy, I said, why aren't you here yet? He goes, oh, I'm old school. I said, you just missed out on a great opportunity because I'm somebody who can go and tell 50,000 people right now how cool you were.
Yep.
But I can't. Now you have to wait till I either see you on Times Square to get your CD.
Yep.
My car does not have a CD player. My computer currently does not have a CD player. So I don't know how great you are besides what you're telling me. But this cat over here, he's made some changes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's like it's not about keeping it real. What they say, it's about keeping it real dumb.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember where I heard that. But it's like, don't be willing to adapt. Be willing to change. Be willing to accept that not everyone is going to love your music.
Yes.
And that's what made Taylor successful. We talked about that before.
Because I wanted to ask you. So, obviously, you worked with an artist who you guys parted ways in 08. And here we are, what, 16 years later?
Yeah.
And she's the biggest and has gotten bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, and people still text me thinking I can get them damn tickets. Oh, stop.
No,
I haven't talked to her in a long time.
No, but what I was going to ask you is that give me or the audience an idea of what separated her that you can see.
Sure.
Like, what's the factor that she had that no one else had? Or you, because I'm pretty sure if you had an opportunity to work with an artist who was going to be just as big, you'll jump at it. Like, hell yeah, let's go.
Now that my kids are in college, yes.
So,
because
exactly.
I left her because my kids were 4 and 2 and I was gone 185 days.
So I get
But yeah, given the opportunity now to be a part of a team,
yes,
I wouldn't run
sure.
But I would be a part of a team.
But my point I'm saying is that... My point I'm saying is that I see my boy Brian Miller, like all of us, Rick, we all are waiting for that unicorn to enter our life.
Yes.
And artists think we don't see it.
Yes.
You've seen a unicorn from infantile.
Yes.
What was it about Taylor that you haven't seen to this day?
Well, I don't know that I haven't seen it. I just know that
times were
different.
Okay,
then,
I get that.
Okay. There are more opportunities with technology that Taylor and I had, but there are also more people in the way. See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So we had MySpace.
Yes.
That's what we had. So what she was willing to do early on is she was willing to get to know as much about her audience as she possibly could.
Mm.
She showed vulnerability in the beginning stages, and she showed that she was not perfect.
Mm.
Okay? She did not try to compete with what she saw that was working. Because she could not sing like Carrie Underwood. She could not sing like Miranda Lambert. She could not sing like those artists. But what she did was she wrote the songs that the audience would sing back louder to her. So that when you're at a show, you couldn't tell that she was still going through vocal changes, which most 16-year-old girls do.
Yep.
Not everyone is a Beyonce.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
Or a Rihanna or a Leanne Rhind or what, you know, those kids that just, she wasn't that.
For sure.
She was growing into herself. But when you get to those shows, the crowds were singing louder than she was, which meant she did not write complicated songs.
So her superpower is that.
Her superpower is understanding her audience, being able to communicate with her audience, knowing who she is as an artist, understanding what her strengths are and what her weaknesses are, and playing to her strengths. Mm. She also loved to learn. You know, I'd never managed an artist before. I got there by accident.
Yeah.
I was a radio guy who created a radio tour that got artists paid just because I asked questions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I didn't finish high school. You know, it's like I was a drug addict when I was 18 to 23 years old. Drug addicts don't make the most dependable students. They tend to not show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I got strung out on crack and growing up in LA in the 80s, during that time, soon as I got sober, the first thing I did was I went and I got my GED. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing I went and I was that student. It's like my grades in high school were A's and eligible. Whatever I liked, I got good grades in, and whatever kept me on the soccer team. That's all I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and started taking marketing, communications, psychology, human behavior. I did not want to learn stuff that I couldn't learn. Mm-hmm. And that's what Taylor wanted too. She didn't go to college. She finished high school, but she's like, where do we learn this? Man. If I had an artist with talent come to me and say, hey, where can I go learn this? I'd be like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
And that's what I'm saying. So
that's
it. So it was her desire to learn on top of her ability.
Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Yes. To write catchy songs.
Yes. And then to let the audience in on the secret.
I was just about to say.
I think she kept no secrets.
That's what I was about to say, because I remember, you know Charlie Walk, of course.
Yes.
So I remember speaking to Charlie Walk. This is 2012.
Yep.
And Charlie was like, Taylor is going to be so big. He said, an instance where she walks in a room and she walks in the room with like a whole bunch of like important people, but they will happen to be with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the thing that Taylor did that threw everyone off was she was more interested in the kids. She didn't care about the adults. She walked up to the adults and said hi and then started having a conversation with the kids. And he was like, that girl is going to be huge forever because she knows how to engage with her audience and kind of raising them in a lot of ways.
Well, what she did is they have grown up with her.
Yes. Exactly.
Now, I have an artist that I'm working with right now. Her name's Jordana Bryant. And Jordana, I've known since she was 15 years old. I got a friend of mine who called. His name's Seth Mosley. He's a Grammy award-winning producer for King of Countries in the Christian music space. And he says he teaches songwriting now, which I love promoting him because you want to learn how to write a song, learn from a hit songwriter.
Yep.
He says there's something special about this little girl. So we got together. I met her, working with her for the last 3 years. And she is this generation's version of, not the next Taylor, because there's only going to ever be one Taylor. She's going to be the first her, but she's writing stories based on not being accepted with friends, losing friendships, and these different things. I'm like, here's the thing that people don't understand. And the game plan was laid out. Every single year, there's a new batch of teenage girls that are mentally getting the crap kicked out of them.
Yep.
Who is speaking to that group?
Yep.
So Mike Caron.
Shout out to Mike.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Mike has this song that gets written by some of his writers, and his A&R guy, Andre Hurd, said, tell you hi, by the way.
That's my guy.
Andre reaches out to me, and they have no idea that I was the guy that launched Taylor Swift's career, but they have this song that's called Taylor for President.
Mm.
So they found Jordana online. She had worked with somebody else. They reach out. I listen to the song. Now, I listen to the song very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
One, to see if it was something that made sense for Jordana. Mm-hmm. Would the Swifties accept her as not trying to be Taylor, but to share the message? The message of the song is, I'm tired of these old-faced guys with these bold-faced lies. Taylor, you should run for president. It's time for a matriarchy.
Ooh, that's hard.
I mean, it's, and you that's know, Mike, good. Knowing really songs, good. He hit the song, he goes, scientific, we got to get that out.
Yep. Right.
So they come to Jordana, she gets this thing out, and that's how I listen to it, is would it be something that we had the music to back it up?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they go, wow, here's a girl that's got 150 million streams already. She's got a song that's streamed over 4 million. Mm. She had the other stuff. Most artists jump at opportunities before they're ready. And that's what I was saying. Can we handle what's about to come?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because most artists say, I just need the opportunity. I just need the opportunity.
You gotta be able to handle
it. Do you have the other stuff to back it up? It's like, we live in a Netflix society now where we want to consume.
Yep.
It's like, well, if you only have one song, the last thing you want to do is release that song now. Go get me five songs. Let's get them stacked. And then let's be able to do this. So
exactly.
That's the thing that I think is just so special. It's like Russ. Russ was like, I got tired of waiting for mixes, so I taught myself how to mix.
Exactly.
I got tired of not being a priority. I paid for it myself. Why don't I be the 85 and I'll outsource with the 15 that I would have been the one getting?
Exactly.
Those are the artists, the Nipseys. You know, it's like I was listening to his book, you know, and Rick Ross's book. Those are the things I do. I call my car the University of Ford. I just listen to audiobooks and podcasts, and that's what I'm always trying to do, is I'm always trying to learn. And people always ask, because they were like, you seem to favor the hip hop artist. I said, yes. And they're like, why? I said, because they never had the opportunities that the other artists had. There weren't enough radio station opportunities for them. There weren't enough performance opportunities for them. So they hustle.
Yeah.
They hustle.
It's a different kind of hustle. Yep.
It is. But, I mean, Lil Wayne gave away 1 million mixtapes and sold 1 million records his
right
first
after,
week.
Back
after the label literally. Bitched at him for giving away the stuff. But they were connected to him because of it. And I'm sure the numbers are off. But the concept is, he didn't thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we'll thank
we'll
you.
We'll thank you.
We'll thank you at the cash register where it matters.
Yep.
And
we'll
that
show
was
you
the
our
other
thanks.
Thing. Absolutely. Yep. And that's what people do with Taylor. They show her thanks.
Yep.
How can she sell 1 million CDs in 24 hours to kids that don't have CD players?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Incredible. If you think about it,
yeah, it's crazy.
They go and they buy these CDs. They
incredible.
Don't, but what they do is, it's the different artwork. It's the tracks that you only get. I mean, she'll put out the same damn CD five times over 5 months. And outsell the one before.
Mm-hmm. By putting another song on each one.
And then everybody will bitch at her. Oh, her dad. Oh, screw that. She's smarter than you.
Yep.
I was going to ask you a question.
She's a businesswoman, and she's thinking about what her fans won. And how can somebody be mad at that?
I'm going to ask both of y'all a question, just because y'all are both experts in this world. If there's parents listening or they're new artists listening, baby artists, no matter how old they are, what would be the thing that you tell them focus on? Like, what's the most important thing you would say to focus on?
Connectivity and relatability.
How, like, what I mean by that is, like, that's the outcome. That's the result you want.
Okay.
How do you get, what do you tell them to do to get there?
Tell, give us the, for artists, give us the music that tells us about you in a sense of what you've been through, an experience that you've been through that can be related to.
So that's
to
what
us.
You would say to the person. Like, if you tell your kids to talk about their experiences. Got you.
And I would tell them, master your craft. Well, get good at it. Because you're like, from 12 to 16, all Taylor did was write.
Yeah,
she didn't go out and try to do it.
That was her school. That was her.
That was her thing. I want you to master your craft.
I was going
to
say, if I had to give anybody advice, if you anybody listening, you an up-and-coming artist, if you want to focus on one thing, focus on songwriting.
Yeah.
Songwriting is the most important thing any artist can do. That's why you and especially if you know how to write your stories, like just write. So even when you said about Taylor, it's like, that's what made her unique.
Yeah.
Somebody wasn't putting words in her mouth.
No, and she would go and co-write with other people. She didn't write. Her first number one was hers that she wrote all by herself.
Exactly.
But she would take something, and that's what Jordana does now. She'll have a chorus, she'll have a hook, and then she'll go in with an expert, another co-writer.
To get the rest of the body done.
Mm-hmm. Craft it.
And that's what but I'm saying. Yeah. I'm like,
master the craft, and don't be in a rush. That's what I tell people too, is it's like, let this be their 4 years of learning. You go to college for 4 years to have a degree and a job. Why do people think just because you wrote one song, you deserve a record deal? And you deserve the best manager and the best booking agent? Nowhere in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, I don't want my doctor, because he all of a sudden got through operation without touching the edges, to be the guy that wants to operate on my head.
We don't want him.
Yeah. No, but that's how musicians think they are. It's like, think about, you brought up basketball earlier. There were only a couple Kevin Garnetts and Kobe Bryants and LeBron James that were able to go from high school to the pros.
That's right.
Everybody else needed to go get beat up a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody needed to go up and iron sharp as iron, get around other people, you know, learn how to, you don't let kids run businesses. They're a business when they get signed to a label.
Yeah.
So why? And then if you're the parent that thinks your kid's better than everybody else, now you're the asshole general manager that the label don't want running the business that they just signed. So they're going to say, you know what? Let's talk when you're 18.
Yeah.
Let's talk when you're 19. It's like, it's very seldom. And you're going to be able to answer this better than me. You as well. We don't have a lot of teenagers now that Radio Disney shut down in the music industry.
No.
Mm-mm.
Our most successful artist are in their mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s.
I'm glad you said that, because the most important factor to me used to be age.
Yes.
I think
there was a reason for it, though.
I think that age is more and more irrelevant, but voice matters.
Yes.
More than anything.
Yes.
Because even if you're 45 and you want to sing, like I was thinking about it, one of my favorite records of all time, I was singing today. Her label was telling her, be like everybody else. Be like everybody else. Just give us a song. Give us a song about love. Give us a love song. And then she makes,
said, I'm not going to write
you a love song because you asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it was written,
yep.
This is why you got to focus on writing. The way it was written, it felt like she was talking to a man.
Yeah.
Like, you think you got me messed up. I'm not writing you a love song. So women can relate to that. But she was talking to a record label.
Well, and that's what makes great songs.
That's what I'm saying. If
you know what I mean? And that's what I told you when you and I spoke before, as I said, they gave me the CD when I accepted the job at Big Machine. And I listened to it and I said, how am I as a 40-year-old man relating to these songs? Because the songs, like her first song, Tim McGraw, was not about Tim McGraw. It was the power of radio.
Yeah.
And when you hear a song on the radio, it takes you back to this place.
Yeah.
Hers just happened to be Tim McGraw. Mine was Journey's Love and Touch and Squeezing.
Exactly.
You know? I knew exactly who I was with and what I was doing. One of the other things too is the reason that age was important is because when you got signed to a 10-album deal, you were signed to a 10-album deal,
period.
And they could develop you for the first 2 to 3 years, and they wanted you to be young, they wanted you to be sexy. If we're being 100% honest, I know that this will live forever because it's digital, but currently the music industry has kind of gotten a little ugly.
It is.
A little ugly.
It is. No, because
I mean, think about it, because somebody...
Who they see.
Yes.
Don't try to code switch. Don't try to be anything else. Be, I'm being honest with you, it's crazy that Taylor Swift is in her 30s.
I still see. She's almost 40.
I still see.
She's that old?
Yeah,
she's
36 years old. She'll be 36 years old this year.
I still see a young girl. That's because she's been able to hold on and embrace the youth. So even when she's in love as a woman, it still feels like a cute little girl.
But I also had some moms come to me, which was funny, when they met Jordana, and they said, oh, my daughter's going to love Jordana. She goes, I stopped letting her listen to Taylor 2 records ago.
Why?
Because of the contents get a little darker, as it should. Yes. As it should.
As a grown woman.
You're a grown woman. Now, you know, you're not able to always be that. But when you look at Post Malone, when you look at Jelly Roll, when you look at some of the impact, I was telling someone, because older artists will always come to me and they go, does age matter? I go, yeah. They go, what do you mean? I said, yeah, because most of you are too old to think different. So that's where age is going to screw you up.
You got to do young tactics, but you have to do it your way.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the internet, when we hear a song on Spotify, there's no pictures.
No.
There's no DJ. There's no bio. It's, did that song connect with me enough where I want to now go learn about this artist? So those of you that I can't understand, that's why I miss, and I'm glad LL's back, because I understand every single word he's saying.
Me too.
Yes. Ludacris. I love Ludacris. I know every single word he's saying. A lot of these kids, I love the beats because I can't tell you what they're saying, but the music gets me.
Yeah.
But it's like when you understand that, because think about Adele. She wouldn't have worked 15 years ago because she weighed too much.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Smith
would
not have worked. There was no way a record executive in LA was going to sign a guy.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
And that was singing about a guy.
Right.
And let everybody know about it.
I'm glad you said that because I want people listening to understand they will work today.
Yes.
I mean, they would have worked back then if they ran into the right gatekeeper.
Yes. But that was willing to take a chance. And most of them weren't.
Most of them wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same way with radio. People are like, you know, and you know, why doesn't radio play my song? Because I'll lose my job by playing the most recent Drake song that didn't work, but I can't do it for this person that nobody's ever heard of.
No.
It just doesn't work. And radio, to me, is more like a museum now. They take the art that's been proven that everyone loves and they display it.
Yep. Yes.
They're not
breaking records, there are no new art exhibits being shown.
And that's okay, that's their place. And when you only had radio to get your music, it sucked. And that's why Napster worked so well.
Yep.
And if they were smart, they would have gone to AT&T, Verizon, and said, listen, we're going to put a dollar on everyone's phone bill and we're going to give it to Napster, and that'd be $30 million a month. You guys figure out how to split it up. But instead, they dropped a bomb on them and the roaches left and they've never been able to recover. There would have been a way. But you needed somebody outside of the music business.
Somebody who thinks different.
To come in and say, okay, wait a minute. First off, why are these people doing it? Oh, because you're selling them $20 CDs with only 2 good songs on it. And then you go and release the next record. Oh, okay. Because there was a thing called filler songs that were real. You know, it's like songwriters, like, I don't want to get an album cut. It'll never be released. So it's like, okay, first off, why are these people doing this? Wait a minute. There's technology where we can now know who our consumer is.
Mm.
We should have gone in and figured out a way, but we didn't. And that's okay. And that's why today what I teach artists is I'm like, look, I said, the things that you need in order to be successful, one is music that's competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two, you need to have your own website. That is the only real estate you own. Everything else is rental property that can be shut down at any time.
Yep.
And when someone comes to your website, you now control the narrative. They can see the videos you want them to see, hear the music you want them to hear. You don't have to wait for them to go down the rabbit hole. So let's not spend a ton of money sending people directly to Spotify, because Spotify is not going to call me up and go or send me an email and say, hey, Rick, just listen to your song. Here's his information. You should start building a relationship with Rick because he really digs the stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he's listened to your song like 100 times.
Yeah.
We don't know who those people are, but there's ways now that we can drive them and think different and not do what everybody else is doing.
Yep.
And that's the biggest problem, is most people just keep doing what they see others do.
Mm.
And the bigger problem for me, and this is something I would love your take on, is when their talent doesn't match their desire and their desire doesn't match their work ethic.
Well, the that to me feels like the hardest combination.
Yes, but that's the magic one.
Yes, because I already say you'll find an artist who is superstar talent, yes, got all the skills, but they don't want to do the work.
Lazy as fuck.
They don't want to do. They are just tapping into their gift and they're not even trying to honor it.
And those are the ones that hurt me the most.
Me too.
Yeah.
And the ones that hurt me the second most are the ones that have the right attitude but no talent.
No talent.
Because you want to see them win so bad.
You just want to. You just, like, just got to, like, hug them. That's,
but it's like damn.
Just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. Those I get. Those are the ones who find me most of the time.
But I'm about to say, but there's more. There is no excuse
right
today. No, for your age.
Nope.
For your music. I mean, I don't care. I mean, just imagine if there was a rapping secretary and she called herself that. And she would just catch her at her desk and she'll look for a boss and she'll turn around and just spit 16 about her work today. That motherfucker would go crazy.
TikTok dentist, man.
Yeah, exactly.
He's from my town. One of the TikTok dentists.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
we were at a parade. They were waving. He was in the audience and they knew more about him. Like, damn.
That's what I'm saying. I think the part for me, and I think for all of us is that we see the path. We know what it takes to work, but we can't do it because we're not the artist. So we pray that they can see it, mm-hmm, or trust enough to at least try it.
And that's the thing that I think when we can get to a point, I always tell people, I'm like sushi. I'm an acquired taste. Yes. I'm not for everyone.
For sure.
You know, it's like, if you're going to come to me and say, Rick, what is it that I need to do? Know that work is what I'm going to share with you. Now, I'm also going to lay it out for you. Do this, do this, do this. It will get us closer to this. I can't guarantee success. I can't guarantee something that's subjective, but I can tell you that I'm going to give you the best chance that you can to do this. Most artists today don't want to hear that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I told you, there's 12 million of you out there. You just give me a couple hundred that want to do it,
we good.
I can help them build careers, because they think that careers mean Grammys. They think careers mean selling out stadiums. No, if you can make $50,000 to $100,000 a year doing what you love,
you got a career.
Most people go to jobs making less doing what they hate.
But if you can make $100,000 doing what you love, you can make $1 million too.
Shh, don't tell them all that yet.
So I'm trying to say,
we got
to
get them. They only hear the million. We got to
get them in door first. Yes.
Gotta
get them in
door. We got to get them a dollar.
Gotta get them in door.
You know, I had somebody come to me. So when people want to work with me one-on-one, I had them fill out a form. And I asked him a couple questions. One is why.
Yep.
If they mention Taylor Swift at all, they never get a call. Yep. It's gone.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So that's gone. I asked them, what is your realistic, I use the word realistic, goal in the next 90 days? Because I do like these, sure. I was doing these 3-month fast tracks. So somebody said, I want to get to 10,000 in income. So I get on the phone, we're having a conversation. I said, so tell me, how much money did you make last year with your music? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just started. I haven't done anything. I said, so you're telling me that I need to 10,000x your business in the next 90 days. I said, why don't we get to the first dollar?
Right.
Why don't we sell your first.
When you say 10,000x, it just scares people, like, this book.
But that's the truth. If you made zero, and you want
10,000,
you put it.
I love how you put
it. That's 10,000 times, right?
That I love. Right.
And I flunk math, but yeah. I know money.
Yep.
You know, so I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Okay, this is unrealistic. Or they say, I want to be the opener on a tour. Great. How many shows did you do last year? Well, I haven't done any shows yet. Okay, so then let me explain to you why this is an unrealistic goal. Why don't we start with you doing shows on Instagram? It's free.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a worldwide venue. It's open 24 hours a day, six days a week. Grab your guitar and play. But why? So then I use that. But what I stopped doing is, part of me, because I've been doing this so long, is I started being an asshole and I hated it. It was like, instead I started looking at it as, okay, Rick, this is a teaching moment.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
I heard you and Troy say you can be dicks because you're great dicks. And because you're good. But I just felt bad, because it's like I would have these people and I would be like, I tell you exactly what it is that you need to do.
Yeah.
And then you show up and ask the same dumbass question and mm-hmm. I see you haven't done it.
Yeah.
You're just wasting my time.
Yeah. Or you don't believe me, and I don't want
to
work with you.
Oh, I don't need to argue. I can golf 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I said this to someone, and this was different when you reached out, and this isn't, I'm not going to go deep into this, but Somebody reached out to me one time, young hip hop kid.
Okay.
He was really good.
Yeah.
And he said, what's it cost to work with you? I said, it's $97 a month. I'll give you access to all my courses. You come ask questions, I'll help guide you. He's like, bro, I ain't got $97. I said, well, what about all the bling you're showing off in your videos on your Instagram page, or the money that mm-hmm. you were making it rain, or that? Oh, but I'm like, okay, so you have money for those shoes and that watch and that necklace, but you want me to give you my knowledge and experience that's proven for free.
Yeah.
How's that? Well, you'll make money when I make money. I said, great. How are you going to make money? I said, I'll ask artists. I was on stage. I was at the CD Baby Music Conference. I said, how many of you would love to have a manager? They all raised their hand. I said, how many of you made $100,000 with your music last? All their hands went down. I said, well, had you, your manager would have been able to support his family for a whopping $15,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I said, that's why you're not getting a manager, because one, you have nothing to manage yet. And two is you can't afford to pay someone for their service.
Yeah.
But the word on the street was, and that was the hardest part for me in this business, was, well, Rick's a manager. He'll just get paid when I get paid. No, those days of those big advances, the reason that happened before is because we could go in, we sign you, you get $500,000 advance, we commission that right off the top. Those 2 years, we just got paid.
Yep.
Now, that's not how it's happening. But you guys need management guidance. So I had to convince them that I so many people, bro, I'll be your, no, you won't. I'll be your, no, you won't.
Mm.
If you don't see the value, that's okay. My YouTube channel's got tons of great information for you.
Yep.
But if you want my time.
That's different.
My time it's provided enough value that you wanted to call and ask me for it. Yep. So you obviously think I know something.
Yep.
But you can't expect. And this kid, he got freakish. And I said, listen, let me just say this. And I say this respectfully to you. Your $97 a month will have zero impact on my life. I will not buy a different car.
Yep.
My wife will still complain when she wants to go. No, nothing about your $97 a month will change or have impact on my life. But what I can give you and the ability for you to come get questions answered to me, that $97 will have massive impact on your life. And I say that humbly. And that's, he thought about it for a second. Thought about it for a second, because somebody's like, well, you've already got money. Yeah, and I worked hard for that money.
Mm-hmm. But
and they think we're supposed to just give it.
Yeah, but the problem, and then when it's time to get paid, you got to chase it down for your check. Like, I wish that they knew how hard it is to do this.
Yes.
You got to be perfect.
Yes.
You got to be perfect. You got to play by your cards. Now, mind you, being perfect is not hard. You just have to commit to what it looks like. Do the work. Pay people, do the work, money come in, invest in it. But it is, I was thinking about this on the way over here. I was like, man, once this thing gets to a certain place, once you build it to a certain place, you never have to build again.
No.
Like Puff had to build, Jay had to build one thing, Jay. Mm-hmm. Once he built Jay, everything else he attempted to build under that, whether it failed or won, it doesn't matter. Taylor Swift, same thing, all right? Like, you have to build you.
Right.
And if you can't build you, don't get mad at me because I can't do it.
Right.
Because all I could do back in the day was take you to somebody who can give you a check because they trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
But now, dog, those days don't even exist no more. You got to do the work.
Why is it that artists, and this isn't all artists, and honestly, probably the ones watching this show aren't them at all. So I even feel bad talking about it, because if you're watching this show to get knowledge and information,
yep.
you are not who we're speaking about. So
yep.
I honor and applaud you for being here. But there's this sense of entitlement.
Yes.
I don't get it. I mean, I've never...
God-given talent means God-given opportunities.
Woo.
That's how they look at it.
Yeah.
God gave me this opportunity, so it's meant for me.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to... I mean, it's like, I'll match your work. Matter of fact, I'll be doing more. It just can't appear that way. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'll match your work just because that's who I am. But it was like, I had this situation come up, and somebody said, Rick, I just appreciate all the free stuff that you put out there. I said, you know what? Let me show you what free cost. So I opened up my tax returns. I did a town hall meeting. And I said, let me explain to you guys what I spend every year for my podcast, to be able to have my email list, for that my education, to be able to do mm-hmm. this for you. And I'll show you exactly what comes in. So I said, okay, this is what Sony paid me. This is what I made from you guys. This is what I got from $97 course, all this stuff. So it's like, I think that year was like $400,000.
Yeah.
And then I showed them, I said, I spent $15,000 a year just to send emails. So there was those free emails that you like. And then I showed them, I was in a $50,000 a year mastermind with some of the smartest cats in the world. Yeah. There was that. I showed them all the expenses. I said, so out of that $400,000, I said, at the end, there was $180,000 for me.
Mm.
And they were like, I didn't even think of it. They just see that I sell courses for $97. Uh-huh. They're like, well, shit, if he sells 1,000 courses a month, he makes $97,000.
They count your pockets for you.
Well, do you want the opportunity to make as much money as you do with what you create? And they'll all go, yes. And I go, then why shouldn't I have that same opportunity if I'm providing a service?
But nobody goes to Chick-fil-A and gets mad that they sold them a chicken sandwich.
For $9.
Like, I mean, even no matter what you pay, it's like they know what they're going for. I know what I'm, that's my point. Mm-hmm. I came here to get food. I ate. If you really want to win in the music business now, the answers are out there.
What's the text that you sent me? Let's just show you.
Which one?
The one that you sent me.
Well, I said, I want you to help me where I.
No, you said, I want to.
Hold on, I'm going to go look at our text right now.
This is the difference.
Oh,
in businessman,
I want to hire you.
Correct.
And I said that. Oh, I said that. I wrote hire because I wanted you to know I value you.
Right.
That's why I said, how can I hire you to help me with something?
You know how many people reach out to me and never use that word?
Don't you? Mm-hmm.
Dude, can I pick your brain?
Or can you give me?
Or the most thing, yeah. and it kills me when they think, man, I'm gonna take you to lunch. Get some.
I can buy my own fucking lunch,
but I don't want to go to lunch with you.
Yeah.
Like, so you can ask me questions. Like, I know the things that come out my mouth can change lives because it changed mine and it changed a whole lot of people around me and it changed that. So either you got to believe that it's going to change yours and followers or you going.
Right.
Because
I did it. I went to lunch with everybody.
Yep.
And then when I told them the work that needed to be done, all they wanted me to hear was, I think you're awesome. Let me get you over to a publisher, get you a publishing deal and get you a label.
Yep.
They didn't want to hear the work. And I'm like, damn it. And then once I put a value on my hour, then I'm like, no, that's a $300 lunch.
Right.
And I can buy my own chicken sandwich.
So when it comes to courses, how do you determine the value of it? Because you said you in a, I don't know about anybody caught, but I caught. You said you were in a $50,000 a year mastermind.
Which meant that three times a year, we got together as a group. I had to still pay for my hotel. I had to still pay for my flight there, but I got to chop it up in a captive place for 3 days where we were able to bounce ideas, share ideas, some of the best strategy and thinking would go on in these things. And I was able to leave there fresh and energized and things like that. The way that I looked at courses is one, is I looked at who my audience was.
Okay.
Artists have always called themselves starving artists. It's like they'll go buy a $5,000 freaking guitar they don't know how to play and love it and not be pissed at the guy that just sold them a guitar they don't know how to play.
Exactly.
But I showed up with a $97 course and I was the devil.
You got nerve.
Yeah. How dare you do this? So the way that I look at it is this. Most people, they want the result of the course. They don't want another course. So I try to figure in my own business, what's the easiest way for me to teach this skill that you need and you continue to have access to it? So I'll do these live webinars. People will come, we'll record it. Then I give it to them. Those I usually charge like $97.
Mm.
You know, it's $100. If you don't have $100, then you don't need to be in business because you can't start a business with no money.
Yep.
And you can't start a business with no knowledge of the business that you want to go into.
Yep.
So once again, I do that. So if I get everybody together and we record it, then I'll make it available. They can just purchase. That's like my record. Here, come buy my record. Listen to my album as often as you want. Play it as often as you want. Now, if you want me to show up and sing a couple of those songs, then the price goes up a little bit. So it's like the do it yourself, the done with you. I like the done with you model. That's what I'm going to talk to you a lot about off camera is the done with you, because that's a big part of your sell is the fact that you will look at their stuff. You'll look, listen to their stuff. You'll do this stuff. So that has a different price tag on it because you're now giving of your time that you can never get back. That one commodity that we can't replenish.
Exactly.
Then they also have a done for you version, which can get real expensive. And I tell people, hey, if you've got the money and you just know I'm not going to do it, there are a lot of people that they don't want courses, but they want direct access to me, then we can make that available. And that's got a higher price tag on it as well. So what I did is I did kind of a hybrid model. So I no longer sell courses. I give everyone all of my courses, from how to register your songs, how to set up your business, how to do your website. So I've got like $3,000 worth of courses I give them.
Okay.
And then they get access direct to me.
Okay.
And I'm do it for $97 a month or $997 a year. And what it is once a week I hold office hours where anyone can come and ask questions pertaining to their business. And I bring them up one-on-one on Zoom. So it's one to many. I'm helping them. Everyone else is kind of learning.
Yep.
They have all the replays. It's all in one location. So that's kind of the hybrid model, because my goal is I just wanted to continue to help as many people as I could. I have, you know, a label that I consult, which pays great money. And I have an artist that I consult that pays great money. But my goal was to impact the world with songs I didn't write, by teaching creatives how to get their music out into the world.
Got you.
Because I needed all the karma from the crap I did early on. I'm 32 years sober for a reason. And the only reason I say that is not for applause, but to let people know that your past does not define your future. I am living proof. If you got somebody in your life that's struggling with addiction, don't give up on them, because God may not be done with them yet.
Yep.
And the other thing too is, don't bring me your excuses. I've been to jail. You know what I mean? It's like I was homeless. I was strung out. So it's like,
it's no excuse.
There isn't. Not today.
Nah.
Not today. It's like, so that's what I mean. It's like, and that's why I think a certain type of person is attracted to me. The person that wants to be famous isn't coming to me.
No.
The person that says, look, I am willing to do the work, I just want to know what work needs to be done so I'm not wasting my time, and I want you to be able to point me in the right direction. That's the person I can help the most.
Got you. Well, I want you off. We're going to talk tomorrow, because I want you to help me. I want to build. I want to build courses too.
That's why I'm excited.
Yeah, I want to build courses too. So we have this. Rick, you have anything more? Because I want to.
Good.
Okay. We have this segment we call Credit Check, where we don't believe in giving flowers on a God show. We want to give credit. We ask people like yourself to give us 2 to 3 unsung heroes in the Rick Barker story that you just want to shout some credit to.
So the first one is Rodney Utt. Rodney Utt was a guy who brought AA meetings into the Santa Barbara County Jail. And I ended up...
I love that.
I ended up in jail for driving on a suspended license. It's funny. I mean, I ran selling drugs and doing all this shit in the 80s, never got caught. And then I end up getting 3 DUIs in a month. And I think that was God telling me, don't get drunk because you'll get high again.
Yes.
Because I used to drink so I could drive. I was so high. And I was already sober. I made the decision when I turned myself in the first time for 17 days that I wasn't going to drink ever again or do drugs. So I thought that I was better than everyone else because I was on the radio, and I said, well, shit, if I'm not drinking, I'm probably not going to get pulled over. So I kept getting pulled over for stupid shit. And finally, I met a judge that didn't think as highly of me as I thought of me. And he's like, dude, you do not get it. He said, no means no. I don't care how many cool things you do for the community. Rick Barker, you are no better than anybody else. And he sentenced me to 11 months in the Santa Barbara County Jail. And I ended up doing 4 months. But while I was in there, I realized that alcohol and drugs were just a symptom. I was the problem.
Yeah.
I was a sober asshole. I was a sober womanizer. I was a sober liar. It was all on me. So it was in jail where I met Rodney, where I made the decision that if I wanted to be better and serve the world, that I needed to have that type of impact on the world. And that's when I always say I reached two bottoms. I reached a bottom that got me clean and sober, and I reached a bottom that got me to stop being an asshole. And it was Rodney Utt who shared that with me when I was in jail. So I want to give my flowers to Rodney.
I'm glad. Credit. We're going to give his credit.
Credit. Well, I'm going to send him flowers too, because he just showed what his dad gave him with his flowers was a 69 Cadillac convertible. So I'm giving Rodney his credit. The next credit that I would like to give is to the Dos Pueblos girls high school soccer team.
Okay.
So when I got out of jail, one of the first things I did was I needed to build my self-esteem back up.
Yep.
So I was asked to coach this girl's high school soccer team. And the girls had never had a winning season. And they taught me the difference between a 13-year-old female and an 18-year-old female is about 20 years. They taught me that there are no mediums when it comes to teenage girls. It's either the lowest or it's the highest.
Yeah.
What they ended up doing was preparing me for this teenager that I was going to be given a couple years later that would go on to impact the world.
Yep.
So by learning how to communicate with teenagers, especially teenage females, it allowed God to put me in a position to teach a young lady that would go on to do what she did. So I'd like to thank
that's
the,
fire.
Give credit to the
that.
Girls, Dos Pueblos Girls High School.
That's actually really dope.
And then the last person that I would like to give credit to is my wife, because she allowed me to be an entrepreneur. Mm. She did not always understand why I was writing $20,000 checks for courses and teaching and education. And she comes from a, you work an hour, you get paid an hour kind of thing. She's also sober as well, you know, so we've raised two beautiful kids, but she allowed me to be me. And it takes a strong woman to allow an entrepreneur and someone to do things different that don't make sense to your friends, that don't make
sense
to their
family. I was about to say, because when they talk to their friends, they're like, what are you doing? What is he doing?
For the longest time, they still can't tell people what I do. They're like, what is... My son goes, I think he teaches people about the music business, but he sure gets to golf a lot.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things. And it's just, I've been blessed to have been humbled enough to look at life from a servant's mentality.
Yeah.
It's like, if I can serve other people, I will always be taken care of.
That's what people
don't get.
If
you can solve other people's problems.
That's what people don't get. I wish they got that.
No, my goodness. It's like, you get more when you give.
Yes.
And
you have to bring some to the table.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And they reward you.
But yeah.
We can see you coming just to take what you want. And
we see it a mile away, too.
Every time.
And, you know, and we'll try not to be rude. And we'll, hey, let us know how that works out for you. You know this. But when the right person comes along, it's no, you know, I had a kid come and wanted to work with me. And I was speaking at a class at Belmont. And I said, this is funny, because this was like the MBA class. I said, you guys are here in your sixth and seventh year of school, and I didn't even finish high school. You have to listen to me for the next couple exactly. of hours. Wasn't even qualified to teach at the school, yeah. but I could come lecture. So I said, listen, I said, if you want, they said, we want the jobs. I said, but the jobs you want aren't available. The A&R job is not available. The booking agent job, people die out of those jobs. Yes. You know, those jobs
they
are not
die,
available.
Right.
The management job is not available. But you can be a manager today. You can do A&R today. You can do publicity today. So I will hire you based on what you've done, not on what you want to do. Because every band would love somebody to come and say, hey, you want some free management help? I've got skills in this. I said, but if you want to get on a bus, if you're able to shoot video, edit video, and post to socials, those are the jobs that are available. There wasn't even a title for creative directors in that capacity 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
Now those are the jobs that they got 4 or 5 people in those departments. So if I leave you with anything, it's like, you are your biggest obstacle.
Yep.
So get out of your own way. If you say you can do it, do it. I want to see what you've done, not what you learned.
Yep.
I just show me. Yep. Because no one's going to deny someone the opportunity to help them make more money.
Period.
That's right.
Period.
I mean, I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Somebody walks to the door and says, I can help you make more money.
Come have a seat.
Excuse me. We're all good. We got all the money we need. Nobody. We're good.
No. You come have a seat right here.
So this is the God Show. And the last question we like to ask our guest is, the GODS is an acronym for goats and underdogs. Do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? If you consider yourself an underdog, what do you personally have to accomplish for you to say, yes, I, Rick Barker, am the GOAT? What would it be?
So I think that I'm kind of a combination of both.
Okay.
Because I'm the greatest at being me, which is unapologetic.
Period.
I'm a solutions-based person. So I'm the greatest me that I can possibly be, and I'm the underdog and I call bullshit way too early, which sometimes gets me in trouble in the wrong crowds.
Uh-huh.
So once I can learn to bite my tongue, I will be the goat in that capacity as well, if that makes sense.
Well, I just want to tell you, we consider you a goat here.
Thank you.
Let's clap for that. I want to clap for that.
I'll take it.
I wouldn't have got on the couch had I not, no matter how much I begged. I was about to say, you don't understand.
Oh,
we
I have do.
A, we do a team meeting, and we look at our guests, and we ask, is he Garsho, Artist Spotlight? And my team, they was like, Artist Spotlight, you on? Oh, my God. And I was like,
no,
I want Rick on a blue couch. Because we do Artist Spotlight in another space.
Yeah, sure.
I'm like, I want him on a blue couch. Like, he is that to me. Because you have shown me in a little bit of time we've talked how to feed my family. And you don't even know that. You've shown me the way. And I got to put the GOAT title on you for that.
Thank you. But here's what's interesting about you saying that. Because it wasn't, you did my podcast.
Yep.
I got hit up in DMs of people that did not follow me because they saw that. And I got things like, well, you must be cool if he talked to you.
Mm.
You must be okay. I can now take a look at what things that you do.
Yeah.
And that's what I want everyone to understand as well, is that when you want to serve other people, the right people see it.
Yep.
The right people see it.
Yep.
You know, because I was joking with them. I was at the very end of my podcast, I kind of threw him under the bus. I said, what's it going to take to get on the couch? I just wanted to be on the podcast because I didn't think you invited white people. You know, I was looking everywhere. I'm like, I know it's culture. I know he's the culture referee, but I want to get on that couch because I just wanted. And I told him when he showed up, I said, dude, I've been waiting for this day for 2 years.
And I didn't even know that. So when he told me, like, and the way I look at this is like, you know, like, I don't like asking for things. I'm a Virgo. I hate asking, but if you want to, it's open. So you said, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even, because in my mind, it's like, why? Like, if I feel like, if I want to talk to you, because when Joe hit me about you, I was like, I love this guy. I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, cool. It was the easiest yes I ever said because
I could get asked all the time for people to be on the show. And I'm like, you guys don't even look at this. I'm not here to promote your artist. You know, it's like, but like, when Ray came across, I'm like, you're joking, right?
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
I appreciate that.
I love that you're a practitioner. I love that you're honest. I love that you're unapologetically you.
Thank you.
I love that if you think it's the right thing to say, you say it.
Period.
Because there's too much tiptoeing, and culture cannot change if we tiptoe.
Yep.
Sometimes you have to break.
Sometimes
through
you got to stomp on that motherfucker.
Step on the door, but you do it in a way that makes people think.
Do you know why?
Because it's until I change my thinking, and that's where you're smart. Is you don't try to change. You make me think to go, shit, I'm wrong.
Yep.
Wait, what about that?
I try to teach you the way I learned. I learned by someone showing me.
Yes.
Like, but showing me. It's a different type of motherfucker that you got to be a different type of human to be able to criticize you more than anybody else. Most humans don't do that.
Right.
They're more like, why you bother me? Why you gotta? And I'm like, nah, you should expect more from you.
Right.
That's why you should criticize you. So that's why you should criticize yourself more. So I've been. Bro, I can't believe this is my life. I got friends in my that I've been cool with since we were 13 that still haven't accepted that this is my life, because it's like, it wasn't supposed to be you. You was never the one. It was always supposed to be him or me.
Sure.
And I'm like, it wasn't supposed to be me. But when I figured out it wasn't supposed to be me and I found someone that could help me, I listened. I don't give a fuck. They told me how I was ugly. I need to hear that right
now.
Matter of fact, what makes me ugly? Tell me, is anything I could fix? Is there anything I could do? Or is it just, because if I'm ugly, then my superpower would just be, I'm ugly. Yeah. And I'm going to make the ugly.
I can't fix this. Yeah.
I'm going to make the ugliest faces, whatever it takes. But I want to win more than I want to win as bad as I want to breathe.
Yeah.
And when you want to win as bad as you want to breathe, there's no excuses. Because if I threw your ass in a pool and you was drowning, you're going to move your feet and arms because you don't want to die there.
That's right.
So if you're not doing music like that, I honestly, I'm humbly asking you to step aside.
Absolutely. And there's like, nothing wrong with that.
If music is a hobby, and I think we need to start saying that, like,
yes,
I'm a hobby artist. Okay, good for you. Mm-hmm. Or I'm a real artist. Okay, good for you. Because there are people that make music because they're popular and they can make music. And then there are people who make music because it's burning inside of them and they can't help but to make music. So for me, you know, just when I'm paying attention to that, I'm just saying, like, we got to start separating the artists. We have to. Right. Because everybody is not career artists. And that's not their goal. So I don't want to go on a rant because I know.
No, I got you, and I appreciate it.
I want to make this known. This is not going to be Rick's last time on this couch. As long as he wants to come here, this door is open. You see how my team hit you.
Absolutely.
Hey, I hit my team. I said, hey, he's important to me. Because, you know, like, oh, who's, I'm like, nah, he can show me how to be great. Make the, you know, because sometimes you got this celebrity, this artist. Sure. I don't care what y'all do. Make sure Rick is on his couch. I want to talk to him tomorrow.
They did, and so, I appreciate it.
And I got the whole day cleared out early tomorrow because I want to flush out.
Where's your sister?
She's not here.
Damn it.
She's not here.
I smoke cigars.
I got spray for you.
Okay, good.
I got you.
I thought about that when I was driving. I'm like, oh, I got to meet her.
I got you. I'll tell her, Jen, let's tell her to come early tomorrow. Jen, tomorrow, let's tell her to come. I want her to present it to you. But I just want to say, man, shout out to our sponsor. Shout out to Two Loss Distribution. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. Shout out to Tote and Carry Bags, the beautiful bags we have. And shout out to Lareco. Thank you, Rick, for asking about Lareco. That's my sister's company. Shout out to them. My sister's in Barcelona, so I just bring it tomorrow.
Okay.
But shout out to you guys for watching. Shout out to you guys at home for making us number one. Shout out to you guys for watching. Like, I'm on a journey and you are on it with us. And I just want to shout out you for that, for staying on it. Keep locked in. We're going to get better and better and better. I hope I did good this time because I really want to let Rick talk. Like, I know I could talk with you, but I was like, nah, I want them to hear another voice. I want them to hear a different voice, a voice of someone who's done it. And you gave that to him. So shout out to y'all. This is The God Show. We are out.
Peace.
That was amazing, bro. Bro, I could talk to you all.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.